Testing, testing. Good morning. It's great to be back. I miss you, all of you. Got to be a couple places. The Lord allowed me to go to the Dominican Republic for 3 weeks on a mission trip with a group from EMEAS. And then I went over to Colombia. Well, it was a little intense, to be honest. The last time I was here, July 10th, I got to preach, and I received the commendation to serve the Lord, to the grace of God, and go places wherever the Lord leads to make His name known among the nations. And so it was very special that day when I received that blessing and the commendation. And 3 days after, I was on a plane to go back to Colombia. And everything changed. That I think, like, that commendation, that special moment that happened before all of you and before the Lord's presence, changed everything. I think going back to Colombia and seeing people and places with different eyes, with different purposes, and it did change a lot. Why was I going back to Colombia for that week? Initially, I was going back for one of my friend's wedding, but everything was perfect timing to go back and see how things were going down there and how the Lord would lead me to serve and help in the church and what's going on in Colombia. So I flew first back to Colombia on July 13th for 10 days. And then I went to the Dominican Republic for 3 weeks. And then I went back to Colombia for 10 more days. I'm very glad that these two countries are not too far. It was like 2 hour flight, so it wasn't that far, but it was very intense. And I'm so glad that I'm back here just resting break after this intense time. So before I start, I just want to share with you guys some pictures and stories behind all these pictures and what the Lord showed me and taught me during this time of 6 weeks being away, and after that, I would like to share something from the scripture. So I want to start with the Dominican Republic. It's a 10 million people that the population of this country. It's I would say not big island, but it's really, it was super encouraging to see all the ministry that is happening there, like the assemblies and all the brethren movement. It's got a long story. It's more than 100 years that missionaries from Canada and other places arrived to this island to share the gospel, to start churches. And there's around 180 assemblies in the Dominican Republic. In the capital city, Santo Domingo, there is around 45. So the first week, I have three points here that were kind of the highlights of the trip. San Francisco de Macorís is one of the cities that we got to spend a week on with a missionary, with one missionary commended by an assembly in Florida. And then we went over to Monte Plata and then VCM conference. So I'm gonna go through these points first. So if you can help me with the next slide. That's John Andes, my EMEAS professor of missions, but he's not working with EMEAS anymore. He's now full-time with CMML, Christian Missions in Maryland. And that's Andre Walker, the missionary that we were helping and learning from. Super humble missionary. These are two girls in the street. So for the first week, every morning we would go visit like the houses around the church. It's a very small church, like 12 people. Sadly, they had a split up and a division like not too long ago. So it was a good time to encourage the missionary, Andrew Walker, learn from him and share the gospel with people around. The next slide, please. Next picture. That's a very cool picture. I love this picture. Is a very sweet kid. He actually lives in New Hampshire, but he was visiting his family, and he spoke English. He was like so funny because like he understood Spanish, didn't speak Spanish at all, but was able to speak English. So our group was encouraged by that. He was super sweet. Little faces every morning running and coming and seeing like the, you know, Americans and the Colombian and the Mexican, just like different for them. Most of Dominicans are that. Their skin color is just like that, and it's so sweet. So like everyone, as we were walking in the neighborhood, everyone was like, who are they? What are they doing here? So it was a good chance to just go in the houses and share about the good news. Next one. These are like some kids that I got to spend time with. baseball and basketball are huge down there. And so, as you know, most of Dominicans like that, the MLB is just full of Dominicans. But I got to play basketball with these kids, and it's always a basketball is always a good opportunity to just become friends and start relationships, and then just share the good news. Every day I would meet up with these guys and play some basketball, and got to share the gospel to some of them. Some of them were like, yeah, thinking about it, and every day we would do just Monday, Tuesday, every day we would go and spend time with them. And on Friday, we would have a special event, the gospel event. Like, we would share the gospel with them, like with everyone that would come, and see who would show up. Next one, please. These are one of the hardest pictures that I found, and that I was able to take as we were visiting the neighborhood and just visiting different people. These are all guys, you can tell, and he works in just making clothes and fixing them and stuff. And he had a car accident. Like, he was just walking the streets. People there are crazy. The traffic there is crazy. They just go on their motorbikes and boom. It's just like crazy what they're doing in the street. He got crushed by, I think, a motorcycle, and he's not able to walk anymore. He's a, single guy. He doesn't have family around, so he depends on other people to bring food to him. And he wasn't saved. We got to share the gospel with him, and the good news, and you can tell in his face just like the joy of hearing good news in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of a broken situation. It's easy to see this kind, like it's easy to see the brokenness in this situation, this panorama, and I will point out something later from this example that I have here. The next one, please. I got to share the gospel message that Friday night, the special event. We had like a performance and some songs, and we were, we visited tons of families and older people, and we were expecting to see older people, like maybe people in their 20s, 30s, 40s. But all what we had that Friday night was kids. And so at first it was like I had like a every like some something super structured and like for adults, and everything ready. And when once I saw that the place packed with kids, I said, forget about it. But I did preach what I had in mind, just in a different way. There are kids, they just start like laughing and bothering and playing around. So I got to find a way to keep them awake. And it was a little bit disappointed at first. We were expecting, and we visited tons of people. And I don't know, funny enough, that very same night, there was a Pentecostal church that all of a sudden decided to do like an event on the street, super loud speakers. And I think like most of people that we visited got confused and thought that was the event we were having. And they didn't know. I feel like my guess is that somebody should have called the pastor of the other church and said, like, hey, this other church is doing this and that, we should do something similar. And so I don't know if many that was super disappointing at first, but we had most of the kids in the church. And it was like, well, okay, we'll go with that, Lord. And it's you are the one that brings people, you are the one that is at work. And so got to share the gospel with tons of kids. I didn't know, I wasn't expecting any response, but at the end, one of the kids was very impacted, and he was probably 9 years old. And he's like, I want to know Jesus. How can I have a relationship with him? I'm tired of being disobedient and not obeying my parents. I want to follow him. And so I got to pray for him and connected him with the rest of the missionary fruit. There was fruit in that night. I seen a little kid coming to the Lord was very special. I don't know if more kids will show up later or. But the Lord knows we were just faithful sharing the good news. Next one, please. Then we moved to Monte Plata. San Francisco Macorís is in the center of the island, 2 hours away from the capital. And Monte Plata was another city like 40 minutes away. I got to meet up I would say the George Mueller of the Dominican Republic. His name is Ramon Prensa, a guy in his late 70s. He's been working in orphanages and schools, and it's so cool to see how the Lord has used this guy and one of the leaders in the brethren churches down there in the Dominican Republic. These are some guys I know. While you guys had the BBS, we also were having a BBS in their church, and helping every single day. In the afternoons, we have like little kids, and then at night we have the older kids. But I got to connect with these four guys more like intentional. I have an intentional. They would invite to play me. They would invite me to go and play basketball with them again. And you know, they would say like, "Does Colombia play basketball?" Like everyone thinks that Colombia, that there is no basketball in Colombia. But they got surprised when I beat them. So it was fun to play with them and show that yes, we do play basketball in Colombia. But more than that, just like having relationships with them and talking about life, seeing who they really are. Sometimes that something that is a reality everywhere is that, you know, you have our young people here at church and they behave in one way, but there's something different when you are out playing basketball with them and you get to see the real ones, who they are and what they talk about and what's their kind of conversation. So it was very special. The last night in Monte Plata, we got to me, Shane, and Luca, and Colin, people that has been here in the chapel and that went with me to the Dominican Republic. We got to also like challenge them to follow Jesus, to see who he is and how worth it is to follow him. So the next one, please. This is the picture. You see Colin, Shane, Luca, and me. That was the last night with these kids. And right after we went outside every night, like even though the BBS was done, like around 9:30 p.m., these guys would stick around waiting for us to come out and hang out with them and talk to them. So it was super neat to see that. And these are some of the faces. Next one, please. This is the orphanage. This orphanage has around like 30, between 30 and 40 orphans. But that week when we were there, there were only four of them. You can see Luis right here, Isaac, Sabieli, Josiah, well, Joshua in Spanish, Josue, and them too. They grew up there, but now they help, and it was so cool to see just how the Lord really like transforms lives, and God is a good father, and how Jesus is everything for them, even though they don't have a mom or a dad, and even though situations are really messed up. But it was we spent 1 week with them, just every morning investing with them. I'm gonna be honest, it was one of the hardest things to do, to love these kids. Like it was insane. This kid Isaac, you see him like so like smiling and loving and everything, but he was throwing rocks at us after 3 days. Shane and I literally like he bit me, and it was hard thing. He would get so mad. And we would try to love this kid, but it was so hard. I learned so much with that kid. And his name is Isaac, and learn patience and how God is so patient with me at first. It was like seeing this kid and throwing rocks, throwing cats from the stairs and going nuts. He threw a rock to Luis, scratched his face. It was a hard situation to do. And for us, it was very shocking how to show love, how to love these kids and show Christ. And it was a huge challenge, but I think we all, that group that you see from Emmaus, we were the ones that were more impacted, that I think that learning from them and God's love and patience with us and try to show that. So it was a great time to spend with them and remind them that God is a good father, that he's the perfect one, that even though our mom and or our dad will forsake us, the Lord will take us in, as Psalm 27:10 says. So that was Monte Plata. This is the best camp I've been to. This was awesome. This is a Word of Life camp. It's like near Santo Domingo. So after 1 week in San Francisco, Macorís, 1 week in Monte Plata, we went back to the capital city, Santo Domingo. We did some like chill down because it was every day having conversations, people, kids, situations in the church and things. It was very intense, and then just chilling down for 2 days in the Dominican Republic, there in the Santo Domingo, and doing some tourist activities, and then we went to this camp. I was part of the IBCM conference. IBCM stands for International Brethren Conference of Missions, and so this is a movement of the brethren like in that has been going on for like probably what 15, 20 years of just like bringing all the brethren around the world together and get to know each other, how to pray for each other, and know what is going on in other parts of the world. This was the Hispano version, so only the Spanish speaking countries were there. We had like more than 200 people. The next slide, you can see. Well, we got I me and Colin got to help a little bit with worship a couple of days. Their music skills is awesome. How they worship and just finding and having a bunch of Spanish speakers from different parts of the world worshiping our Lord was amazing. Was really cool. As you can see, we had people from all over South America and Spain as well. So it was such a encouraging time. More than the sermons or like sessions, it was more about connecting with people and see what's going on in their country, what and just seeing how we struggle with the same things and we have same challenges at some point. So it was great. The next picture you can see that we had a trip on to the beach, and then you find people from all. It was a really encouraging time and learning time from all their missionaries. And maybe next time, the next IBCM conference is going to be in Malaysia next year. If anybody here is interested, maybe some of our young people that would love to go. I'm Lord willing, I'm planning to go there and share with believers from all over the world. It's going to be June 19th to 23rd. So this one was the Spanish version, but then next year is going to be all over the world in during the summer. So yeah, I got to learn from different missionaries, have conversations with people that has been on the field, have been on the field for years, and connections, future connections. I don't know how the Lord will use these connections later on, maybe having a short mission trip to other parts of South America, receiving people from all other parts of South America to Colombia for the growth of the church in the Spanish-speaking country. So that was the IBCM. And the next one, please. The DR. That was the DR. Flew back to Colombia. I went to Colombia 1 week, 3 weeks in the DR, and then went back to Colombia again. And so I have these 4 points here that got to connect with disciples again, disciples that the Lord allowed me to have back in the day, and school visits, and got to visit the church, how things are going, and also how future opportunities, what the future opportunities I had. So, please. Colin, join me to Colombia for that last week. Samuel, the one with dark glasses, he was the one that him and I, we lived together in my city. He was the guy I got to start church with, and it was good to see him. Juan Pablo is getting married next, like in couple of weeks, and it's funny because like Juan Pablo and Mario, two guys that we got to share the gospel walk with, they're about to get married. Well, it's just see how now the Lord has changed their lives, the purpose, the relationships, everything in their lives is and they keep walking with the Lord. So it was super encouraging. That was kind of the bachelor's party that we had for him, since I was not gonna be able to be at his wedding. The next one, please. That's Nicolas, one of my friends. Also, I got to share the gospel with during college, and so encouraging. He's still walking with the Lord. He's now part of the Bible Institute that we have in Colombia. That was in the graduation of the first stage of the course, and so neat to see him and his family growing in the knowledge of our Lord. So it was neat to see that. The next one. So you guys want to see how school looked like in Colombia? Well, that was the school where I went to. That's the school where I graduated. I met my English teacher at a restaurant, and I came and say hi, and I told her like how my life was going and everything that was going on, because I failed English with her in 8th grade. And so I told her, guess what, I became an English teacher. And she was like, what, really? And she was like, dude, you have a way better English than I do now. I was like, ha, you like that? And I was like, I'm kidding. But she said, like, why don't you come and tell us the stories, and like come and share to our with our students. But this guy that is next to me, his name, I forgot his name, but he's from Tennessee. But he was a guy that was around in Columbia to take places, and so he came with me. And it was so funny because I arrived to my school. It was like 12 years spent in this school, the same classroom where I had English classes, and having all these kids, and they thought that I was from Canada because I was speaking English at first, and they're like, oh, this guy's from is not from here. And then at the end, just letting them know that I was from Duitama, from that very school, and being able to share about Jesus and how he's just worth following. And so it was a special time. Then after that, they asked me to have a special event with the 11th graders. So I got to have a kind of opportunity to share the gospel. I share from Matthew 16, where Jesus says, "What and to win the world and lose their soul." So the Lord is opening up doors me to go to schools as well. So the next slide. These were my students when I was an English teacher. They're 11th graders now, and I just showed up. It was a huge surprise for them to see me, and it was to see them again and tell them what's up with my life now, how everything just changed from being an English teacher to be a missionary, and again, be more intentional about Jesus and sharing who he is. And I know most of them were struggling in situations in schools right now. It's you know, in the States, well, it's hard everywhere. It's the pandemic, it's hard. It is hard, like the relationship issues and related situations in their homes, and just bring that hope, the living hope that we have in Jesus was. Lord willing, when I go back, I'll be able to visit some other schools and bring the good news to these young people, and hopefully they can come to know the Lord. The next slide. Well, that's my city. That's Duitama. As you can see, you know, mountains. We're in the Andes. Actually, you can see here these two floors. This is like an right now. There's like huge buildings, but this is the house where I grew up, and that's where my parents and I live for more than 15 years. Is this working, or is like yeah, off and on? Okay. And so that's it's got a 130,000 people, the city, and it's not as big, but as you can see, it's very populated, and there's a lot of people. And that's where the church where I grew up, you know, that there is from North Carolina, went to church back in 1984. That church it up in 2015. There's still some small groups. But then me and another friends during COVID, as you guys know, we started a church, and I got to visit them. So maybe slide, I can, the next one, please. So that this is the building where they're meeting up now, that we have the second and third floor. The building is right in front of a mall, the only mall that we have in Duitama. And there is a lot of things going on. The first week that I spent there in Colombia before going to the DR, there's a lot of issues going on. There's older people that and mature people that joined the church, but there have been like some discussions and about like the role of the women in the church is a big thing down there right now. It has brought some brokenness in many people. This unity, and it was hard to see, just like people wanted to talk to me about it and over again for 3 days nonstop. I was meeting up with people and hearing the situation there. So it was a very, very hard panorama. Like a year ago, it was kind of nice to see it growing. But as the church grows and kind of like matures more, there's going to be other things that they will face. And so I got to see that firsthand. It wasn't like that. I wasn't that pumped to be there, like really, because it was like this situation and this other situation. And there's not like elders appointed or deacons, but there's a group of like base of leaders. But there's a lot to do. And so there's a need of to equip people, to teach people how to read the scriptures, because these are a fairly, you know, very young church. It's turning like 2 years this year. It's been 2 years around. And so Sam, who was one of the also, you know, he's been here and he's been my co-worker. I've been helping him out in different ministries down in Colombia. He decided to start something from scratch in another place. Some of the people were not in agreement with that. And so we had to deal with that. It was a decision already taken. So it was very messy when I went there. And so I was like, okay, I'm about to go to the DR. I'm going to spend 3 weeks there. Let's spend this time like just praying and seeking the Lord. And once I'm back, we can just meet up together and see what we can do. So I went back and we had a meeting on Saturday. Some had already decided to start and expand. Some people were in agreement, some others weren't. And so you know how hard it is to deal with all these things and situations. And so at the end, well, the church is still like going on. from here to December, they sign up the contract to keep renting that place. And Lord willing, as I mentioned it to them, I'll be going back, Lord willing, December 31st. And that's what I'm hoping to come and help. So the Lord did confirm kind of the situations that I had like previously in my mind, and being there and seeing the situations was like, yeah, that's that. This is where the Lord wants me. Even though it's not like that exciting, to be honest, to like, yes, it's there are good things happening. And like, I can be like here telling you it's the church is growing and like this. But there are also moments where we get to say, like, it's not going that well. There are things happening. There's need of discipleship, of prayer. And so all of these things were kind of a burden, to be honest, to see. But the Lord was like, okay, you're ready? Because this is just the beginning. So I just got commended, and just being there and seeing the whole panorama, I was like, wow, this is huge. I feel like I should go back and teach English again. That was like the easy thing, right? But what are we living for? That was the whole thing. And as I was sharing the breaking of the, what am I seeking? Like, there is nothing better that we can live for, even though it's messy, even though it's something. Sometimes it's hopeless, and we don't see like how to figure out things and divisions and discussions among the brethren. But that's why we are here, and that's gonna be part of what I'm gonna be sharing with you this morning. So the next picture, yeah. So that was it. I'm gonna bring some water because also I have a cold. I was just the change of like altitude over and over again, like it has affected me. And I think like I was a little bit dehydrated, and coming here and chilling down and really being with you guys is like is a rest for me. And I'm so thankful I was able to come back. So what I want to share with you guys this morning is from 2 Corinthians 1. If you would open with me, us. I was praying about it. I didn't know what I was gonna share about until last night. I'm gonna be honest. I was, what can I share today with you? As I've been mentioning, we live in a broken world. Last time I preached here, July 10th, I talked about the Ministry of Reconciliation, what we do as church and as in our lives, what we're living for, what's the purpose of us going places, and what are we doing as church? But the reality is that we live in a broken world, right? Going to Colombia and seeing the hard situations within the church, and people just broken and burdened with things, and just being able, listening to all these situations. As I told you, I didn't want to kind of like know these hard situations, but just like, come on, this has to be something encouraging. But there is times where it's not encouraging at all. And so I was thinking, what can I share with my brothers this morning? And that picture, as I told you, that seeing these situations, it's easy to see the brokenness of people, right? And I was thinking, man, coming back to the US and seeing like everything well organized, the kids have everything they want, the last shoes, the last phone, and everything is super nice. And the houses are super well organized, and everything is clean on the streets. It's a completely different panorama. But what the Lord was putting in my heart this morning, and was still, there is brokenness. Maybe the brokenness is not as visible as we can tell in other places of the world. Maybe our houses here in the US are super comfy and nice looking, but I'm pretty sure there is brokenness inside in many places. I don't know who here today might be broken or maybe burdened with things. It blows my mind too when I was sharing like kids and young people asking me like, how's life there? How do the young people live there? It's like, man, like you see, like they were looking at my phone, it's like, dang, this is the last one. It's like, yeah, it's normal. Everyone has the last iPhone there. Everyone has the really nice Air Jordans, and like everything is nice. And they're like, dang, I would love that. But as you guys know, and as many of my disciples here know, they have friends that are not complete. I know you guys know in the schools you have friends that are like, what am I living for? And they have everything. And so there's brokenness everywhere. And it's hard to see that. I was like, Lord, why are we here? Like, why do we have to handle all of these things? And you know, when Jesus is praying, John 17, he's saying, Lord, I don't ask you that you would take them out of the world, but that you would save them or keep them from the evil one. So God does want us to be here in the midst of this broken world. And so this passage came to my mind Second Corinthians. This is how I titled this sermon. Though You Slay Me is one of my favorite songs that I'm hoping to share with you. But I want to go to the text and share with you just 4 points that I see here. But I'm going to read the text first. Second Corinthians 1, 3 to 11. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. But we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despair of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him, we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning and that we get to open up your word. I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord. I know, even though we can have a facade in our houses of a very nice and organized family and everything, Lord, I know there's brokenness everywhere. I don't know the situations that are present here among my brothers this morning, but you do. You know our hearts. You know the realities of our lives and the things we're struggling with. And Lord, I pray that you would bring comfort to us this morning. If there is anybody that is burdened with things this morning, that we would remember this and that we would rely on you. Please speak to us through the Spirit, Lord. If I say something that you don't want us to hear, Lord, remove it from our minds and ears. But if there is a truth that you want us to remember, hold on to, Lord, that we would stick to it and cling to it, Lord, and be reminded that you love us and that you are the God of all comfort. I pray this in your name. Amen. So I just want to point out four points here very briefly. The first point that I want to talk about is the God of all comfort. As it's said in the verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." And I like that very first word, blessed be, because it's very key. Blessed means here is like well spoken of, right? Like it's hallowed, admired, loved, glorified. Be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to at the end exalt God in our hearts. That's the whole thing that I'm hoping to do at the end of this time, that we would exalt our God, even though situations are messy and we live in a broken world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and all comfort. There is a need to express that, but thinking about that, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this Father of mercies and God of all comfort makes me think of like that we get to call him like what Jesus would call my God, my Father. Now you and me get to call him in the same way. And so if just as a reference of why this is so important, I think is John chapter 20, verse 17. After Jesus was raised from the dead, we see here Mary just like coming and clinging to Jesus. And look what Jesus says here in just very shortly here, John 20, 17. He says, "Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" So I was thinking about this verse and what Jesus is teaching here is that by his dying, by his rising again, that enables us to call God, like what Jesus was calling my God and my Father, now we get to call him as well, my God, our God and our Father. And that's so key to understand that this is not just for Paul. This is not only just for Jesus, who was calling my God, my Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and crying out to the Lord. But now you and I get to call the same God, the same Father of mercies, and the same God of all comfort. That's the one that we want to praise in this morning. And thinking about how is this possible? Well, we know it's through Christ, the one that we remember every day in our lives. And how the dynamics work, just as a reference verse, maybe in Romans 8:32, when thinking of this God of comfort, like how he relates to us, what has he done with us in Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And when I think of all things, what we have in Jesus, God didn't spare his son, but he gave it up for you and me. And that we have received all things in him, mercies, comfort, everything is hidden in Christ. It just blows my mind that God, the Father, the creator of the world, sent Jesus so that we would call him our God, our Father, and that in him, we will find mercy every morning, as Lamentations 3:23 says, and comfort in any kind of situation, not only for salvation, although that's, you know, is the core of our lives, but in all our affliction, in all of them. That word all, it means all. In the Greek, in the meaning, it's all. We don't have to go farther to understand that it's in all things. And that is so comforting for us in this morning, that he's the God and our Father of all comfort. And that's what he's saying, who comforts us in all of our affliction in verse 4, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in an affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We have been comforted by God through Christ. There is no comfort without Christ. There is no mercy without Christ. And that's why we go places. That's why we travel places to people to communicate this message. But this message is not only for us to, you know, take it to the ends of the earth. And I think it's something that we need today here in our chapel, little chapel that I know we struggle with things. We might be in affliction today. I don't know. But he's the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction. What's afflicting you today? Might be my question, maybe. What's burden today in your life? Because at the end, he can comfort you. He's the God of all comfort. And when we think of this God of all comfort and how he has been dealing with humankind throughout history, we can mention tons of examples, countless of examples from the beginning of Genesis, how he's the God of all comfort. Think about Abraham and the sacrifice, how he was about to kill his son, and then the God of all comfort deliver a perfect lamb. Think about Moses and the people of Israel in the wilderness over and over again with the manna. They didn't have water. They didn't have anything to eat. They didn't know how to cross the sea. And the God of all comfort and all mercies was there. Thinking about David and this promise of the kingdom, even though he messed up so badly and he was a king and everything, but God would promise and give him this comfort that I will bring the eternal king through your lineage. Think about the prophets and the hope of this Messiah that would come and that would bring comfort and forgiveness and redemption. And now think about that Messiah that came to the earth and the one that endured the cross and was comforted as well by God the Father. It's he's the God of all comfort. And if we had the burden of sin and Jesus took it, and daily, every day we can remember who he is and that he is the God of all comfort. And even though we are just tired of situations, we can remember this and hold on to this truth. That if he did it in the past with these guys, Abraham, Moses, David, prophets, Jesus, and you, he will do it again. And that's refreshing for me, that it's not on my shoulders anymore. There is one that carried that. And it was Jesus, and he will do it again. So we can say, blessed be the God and Father of all comfort, of mercies. And I want you guys to be encouraged in the midst of the affliction, in the midst of the all these hard situations and broken world. we follow and we have this relationship with the God of all comfort. That's the first point. The second one that I want to point out this morning is the goal of suffering and comfort. What is it? And we see it there in verses, starting in verse 4, I think, when it says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. And then verse 5 to 7, it says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. I think it's like, it's very, you know, messy here. I mean, the order here is like a suffering, comfort, like we suffer, you suffer, we're comforted, you're comforted. But what's the purpose of all of this? What's the goal of suffering this life? What's the goal of being in a broken world and being in a messy situation in the church and being in like discussions with one another? Maybe what's all of this for? And at the end, you and I know, maybe we just need to remember that is to be like Christ. Think about it. Christ suffered, Christ was comforted, and Christ comforts us, right? And what Paul is saying here is that we're following his steps. We share sufferings for Christ's sake. We are comforted by God through Christ so that we would become comforters. Not only it's all awesome to see here what Paul is saying is we are comforted so that we would be the comforters to others. And that's huge for me. Like I was asking like, Lord, why is all these people telling me their issues? And I can, you know, maybe I was hoping to come back and finally going back to the chapel and everything is all right. Everyone is just great. But I know it's not the case. And I've had people coming to me as soon as I arrive here and having coffee with me and talking about how hard life is. It's like, really? I was hoping to come here to the chapel and rest and stop thinking of like issues and things and hard situations. Really? Why, Lord? Why am I like being constantly people talking to me? And it was like, one is because you've been comforted. Think of when your parents got divorced. Think when you have this and this and this and this. Oh, okay. I've been comforted so that we would be of comfort for others. And I'm pretty sure you like look back. If I would ask you, each one of you, think of a moment where you were like struggling and you were afflicted and you think, how did God comfort you? And I want you to think, maybe think of one of moment where you were very afflicted and burdened beyond your strength and that God came and strengthened you. Because there is a purpose for that. We follow Christ. That's the goal. And I have tons of verses here, but I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. But Christ suffered, Hebrews 5, 7 to 9, says that he suffered and suffered. But then that we share also those sufferings in 1 Peter 2, 20 to 22. Peter is saying we follow his steps. We suffer for Jesus' sake. It's hard to live in a broken world that doesn't fear God, doesn't care about Jesus. But we do it for his sake. And we are called to do the same. We are comforted as, think of how Jesus was comforted when he was sweating blood in Gethsemane and he was crying out, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And in Luke later on, in I think it's Luke 22:43, that God sends an angel and strengthened. It says that God strengthened his son to go to the cross. He was comforted and he was here when he was on that cross. Think about it. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And his prayers were heard after he died with this purpose and he was risen again from the dead. Now think about you and me. It's not different. Like if Jesus, the Son of God, was comforted, what about you and me? We are comforted through Christ. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Very common, Isaiah 53:4-6. But we are comforted to be comforters. That's the purpose of why you're struggling right now, why you're afflicted today, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, whether it's in in the Dominican Republic, or whether it's in Colombia or here in our chapel, wherever the Lord takes you, in the school, in your job, whatever you are comforted to be a comforter. That's the goal, to be like Christ. And the third point, the details of Paul's suffering, we see them from verse 8 to 10. And it's, well, I really like this. I'll tell you why. Because let's read it again. They're back in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 10. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despair of life itself. That's crazy to think, beyond his strength. Like they were despairing of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. So he's talking about this affliction that happened in Asia. We have some ideas of what happened when he was proclaiming Christ, and these guys wanted to kill him so bad. It was a messy situation. But when we see that he was burdened beyond their strength, is that how you're feeling today? Because that's how I was feeling not too long ago. I was like, I don't want more. I'm tired of like listening problems and issues. Are we burdened even with like, I don't know what situation it is, but I want you to identify it this morning. What are you burdened with? Are you despairing of life itself? It's so easy. I know we've been in on those shoes. Like that's what Paul also experienced, beyond his strength, beyond like the whole situation. They felt they were about to die. To that point, think about it. And I think these verses are completely against this Christian cliche that he said around, that is, God will never give you something you can handle. Really? Is that what we see there? It says that it went beyond their strength. It's like they despair of life itself. And I feel like sometimes there are situations in my life when I can, oh, God gave me this and I can handle it. No, I can't. I can't. I can't. What's the purpose at the end? As we see, the purpose of this was that they will rely not on themselves, but on God. Maybe that's something God is using today, as we know. And I think like you guys, this what I'm preaching today is nothing that you guys didn't know. It might be just a reminder. Like maybe you are in a different point of life right now and you remember, why am I suffering? Why am I struggling with this? Oh, okay, it's not to rely on myself, but to get closer to Jesus, to draw closer to him, to cling to him, like, oh, the storm is coming. And you cling to him, like, he's the only one that can deliver us. That's what he's saying, too. Why to rely on God? Why would we rely on God? And what he's saying, who raises the dead, because he can raise the dead. God delivered them once. And think of all the time that they were delivered, and he said, and he will deliver us again. But you would say, like, but come on, he died, and maybe they cut off his head, and was he delivered? Yes, yeah, we know he's with our Savior. He knew, like, even if he was about to die, he would be delivered from this, and he would be in heaven with Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He knew, he had this hope, and you and I have this hope that is unshaken. Even though the situation is messy and the church might be like, oh, what's happening here? And no, our hope is set on him. We really, the head of the church is not Juan, is back in Colombia. The head of the church is not one of our elders. The head of the church is Christ. And in him, we set our hope. I'm so glad, because if it would depend on us, it would be even worse, you know, messy is. But I'm so glad he's the God of all comfort and he can deliver us. And maybe all these situations that we struggle with, Tim Keller, famous preacher, he said, you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And I was thinking about this. You don't really know Jesus is all you need because we sing Jesus is Christ is enough and things until Jesus is all you have. There is a point where nobody can help you, nobody but him, to rely on him. So don't take it for granted. If you're suffering today, take heart. Don't lose heart. There is a purpose behind it, to be like Christ, to rely on him again, to draw even closer to him. And my last point is their request, what Paul is asking them in verse 11. He's calling them. It says, you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. And I can identify with this verse so much. First thing, as I arrived, I flew into Chicago, flew like at midnight. And I was thinking Steven would pick me up and just him. But the whole, like the whole family, Sarah, the kids were there at 12. I was like, dude, you guys are missing out. They should be in bed. But you see them from far away and like, I'm home. Like having people, a family that is waiting for you, having a chapel that is, that as soon as I came into that door, one is I pray for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. It's like, amen. Thank you. Thank you for praying. And today we can give thanks to God and honor and say, thank you, Lord. You are the God of all comfort. But that's the request. I once I'm back in Colombia, Lord willing, I'm going to need you guys all the time to be praying. And I'll be praying for you, but we need each other. I was longing to go to be right here where I am right now. And you say like, thank you for your prayers. And because it's hard. It's a messy world. It's a broken world. Here we are surrounded by brothers and stuff, by going places where there is no fear of the Lord at all. It's hard. It's burden. It's a burden that we sometimes despair of life. But then we remember, we rely on God, and we got a church that is helping and prayer and interceding for us so that Thanksgiving would increase. So with those 4 points, I just want to leave you guys with 4 applications as well from taken from these very same points. Maybe if you're burdened beyond your strength today and you're despairing of life, or maybe right now you're okay, and I hope that's the case. But if not, and at some point you experience something really bad in your life, first rely on God. It's easy. It's be vulnerable before the Lord. And how does that look like? Well, you guys know, when before you go to bed, just open your heart, cry out to the Lord. Whatever you need to do, if you need to go on a walk, you and God, just do it. Be vulnerable and open your heart. He's there. He's the God of all comfort, of all mercies. Remember that he has delivered you before. He's delivering you right now, and he will deliver you again and again and again and again. Death cannot stop this God of all comfort. It's so glad. I'm so glad that we have this example, right? Of Jesus first, of Paul, of men that just like you and I suffer, but that was to rely on God. The second thing, look at Jesus, right? Like, remember that there is a purpose in your suffering. There is a purpose in our affliction. There is a purpose why we despair of life, why we're in this broken world. Remember what Paul said later in the same book, afflicted but not destroyed, perplexed but not driven to despair, and struck down but not destroyed, always carrying our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Look at Jesus and remember the comfort we have in him, that we can go to bed tonight, guys, and be at peace with God because of Christ. That's huge. That even if we die today, we'll be at home with him, and that's so comforting. The third thing, pray for one another. And this is a very key one. And I think it's harder in some places. And me being an outsider at Colombia that comes and lives among the Americans and see how things work here in the country. And you know, when you come to church and or like anybody, like if you go anywhere, you go, hey, how are you doing? Good. And you good. Is that it? Like, is that it? Like, if you know, Lord willing, if you at some point come to Colombia, how are you doing? Good, but my mom is kind of sick, and like, she's been struggling with this and that. Is like, okay. Like, you don't know how to react sometimes with that, right? People in some places, I feel like, are more open than others. But the reality is, like, there's brokenness everywhere. And I know it might be hard, but I do recommend and encourage you to open up your heart to somebody that you can trust, to somebody that you know will listen, to somebody that you know will pray for you. And I know it's hard, but we're not alone. We're not called to live these individual lives, each one of us in our houses, and that's it. But who can I call this week, and who can I pray for this week, and finding ways. There are widows in our chapel that we can go and visit, and something I'm lacking that, and I need to do more intentionally, that the Lord was showing me. How can, there is a body, we are a body, we're not alone in this. I'm so glad I have you guys, that you can pray for me, that I can tell you my struggles, receive comfort from you guys and wisdom from you. We have each other, and that's comforting. That's what we are here at the end, you know, we are comforted to be comforters. But how does it look like? Well, as I always say, colectivo is a good thing to do. Like, take somebody with you to coffee, pray for one another on the phone if you're too busy, or call somebody. What are we doing? That's why we are here. That's why we need each other, to pray and to open up and say, I'm a mess right now. I need you to pray for me. It's that, remember, that's what God wants. That's what Neil shared in the breaking of bread. And walk humbly with our God. What does it mean? Say, like, oh, I'm fine. I don't need anybody. No, walk humbly. I need you, God, and I need my brothers to pray for me. That's the third thing I want to encourage you. Pray for one another. And the last one is worship. Worship the God of all comfort in every situation, even though it's messy, even though it's hopeless. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because our hope is in Him. It's something unshaken. We know that we will be delivered again in Him. And so it's, I think I want, I it, it's been an encouragement for me last night as I was studying this. The Lord and the Spirit was comforting me to be able to comfort you this morning. The panorama is dark. I don't want to come lies and yes, the church is succeeding, and this is happening in the DR, and this is happening in Colombia, and the church is moving, and things are, yes, that's what is happening. But there is also hard situations. We live in a broken world, and so I think the Lord wanted me to talk about this with you guys. And whatever your situation is, remember these truths and hold on to Jesus. Rely on God. And I have would like to close out with a song. Why I titled this sermon like that, Though You Slay Me. It's one of the songs that has helped me through hard situations. You can maybe follow the lyrics, but it's called Though You Slay Me. It's by Shane and Shane. So I'm gonna just close out with that. Maybe if you need to, I don't know, spend some time with the Lord, close your eyes, and just pray. Just rely on God in this moment, and we can pray while I sing this song. If you can pray, just read the lyrics with me. If you want to sing this, wow, feel free. I come, Lord, I come. Return to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, that I might know you in your suffering. Though you slay me, yeah, I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the one whose soul I need. My heart and flesh may fail, the earth below give way, and with my eyes, I'll see the Lord lifted high upon that day. Behold the Lamb that was slain, and now know every fear was worth it all. And though you slay me, yeah, I won't praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship. I'll sing a song to the one whose soul I need. Though tonight I'm crying now, let this cup pass from me now. You're still more than I need. You're enough for me. You're enough for me. And though you slay me, yeah, I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. And though you ruin me, still I will worship. I'll sing a song to the one whose soul I need. I'll sing a song to the one whose soul I need. Lord, we thank you in this morning that you are the God and Father of all mercy and all comfort. I pray that, Lord, we will rely more on you. We don't have anyone else to go, anywhere else that we could go and receive comfort and mercy, but on you. You know our hearts. You know everything about us. You know the situations we're struggling. You know everything. You know our situations as your church and things that we're struggling with. Lord, I prayed for unity here among our chapel, Lord, that we would trust in you first and that we would pray for one another, be the body that you want us to be, Lord. You, in that prayer that Jesus had in John 17, when you said, I want them to be one so that the word would believe that you send me. Lord, here we are, broken people. We are jars of clay in which we have the knowledge of God, so to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Lord, we are afflicted in every way, but not despair, Lord. We might be struck down, but not destroyed. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in you. I pray that if there is somebody here that is hurting today, that is afflicted, that is burdened beyond their strength, that you would comfort them as you've done it before. And we know that you will do it again and again and again. Thank you that we have you and that we can worship you in the midst of a hard situation and a broken world. You are worthy, Lord, of all praise. Pray that you would encourage us in this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.